ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا. يوعد لنا هذا مسجد إذ نادى ربه نداء خفية ربي ولم أكن بدعائك شقي وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرة فهب لي من لدنك وليا.
This is A for children. B, have ye. In every one of these verses, I mentioned the following verse, Fastajabna. We gave him what he wanted. They were, every one of these problems, when they said it, they were given what they wanted. Have ye min ladunka durriya. Okay, you know, actually, one of the amazing things about birth and kids and how it's in Allah's power, I mentioned last week the story of a woman who was divorced 3 times because of she couldn't conceive kids. I was reading, actually, another story that I forgot to mention in an Egyptian paper. Someone married a foreign woman from Egypt, and they didn't want to have kids, and so they took the pills, thinking the pill's going to stop it. You know what happened? If this is in a book, they put it in a book in Egypt, that's some of the wondrous things that happened, something similar to our Genesis. Is it called Genesis? Genesis Book of Records. So what they put in there was, after she was trying to give birth, she got pregnant. The pills didn't work. She had a problem giving birth. So when they found out they had to have a C-section or operation, they found the little baby in his hand over pills that his mother was taking. Wallahi, wallahi, it's an amazing story. Meaning, well, you can't do nothing. If Allah, the doctor, tells you can't have kids, don't depend on that. That's a lie. Same thing, anything that happens. The doctor says you have 4 months to have, you know, some woman from Morocco. I have the tape of her voice personally. She was, the doctor said you have a few months to live, breast cancer. She went to Mecca, and Mecca is a cure for everything. Some scholars say it's an innovation to move it out of Mecca, like they put in bottled water today. But to go to Mecca and drink it, and drink it to the point where you feel it's going out of your lungs. Drink and drink and drink. The Prophet ﷺ said that. It's called in Arabic, At-tadalla. At-tadalla. You drink, until you feel it's about to come out of your neck, and you ask Allah for whatever you want. And she asked Allah. She went back to her doctor, and said, you got no trace of cancer. It's true. And I'm an example too. You know, I used to, when I was a little kid, my father used to say, drink and ask anything. And it was, I said, you know, how am I going to memorize the Quran? I was 6 years old. So I drink, and say, inshallah, I'm going to memorize the Quran. We pray by the Kaaba. And it was a goal for me, because my father said, you know, you have to memorize the Quran. So, alhamdulillah, a few years later, I did memorize. Even though I was non-speaking, back then, my English was my first language. My Arabic was broken. Alhamdulillah, it became true. And a lot of other stories of Zamzam is absolutely true. Not only that, depend on Allah. Do the rules we said, you're going to see one like we told you. Allah's mercy, Allah's treasures, if He gives you everyone in this earth that which He deserves, it's like a stream you put in an ocean and you take it out. Not even a drop comes out. Nothing. It doesn't make Allah's kingdom or Allah's treasures any less.
What's the beef for? Part beef? Is
that
for children as well?
Yes, both of them are for children. Say it, why don't you say it, Akasha? Say B or A, is that a choice?
I
don't put the Tashkia thinking it's like Arabic. Dhurriya can tayyiba. Okay, how about Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel? What's that for? What is it for? What are the things? But norm for this dua is oppression. Is when you're fearful of someone. If someone tells you the whole world is against you, you tell them Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. To Allah we resort, and He is the best one we resort to. This is the dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it when he was in the cave. They were right by him, right by this, their feet, the leaders of Quraysh were right by where the Prophet and Abu Bakr was. He said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel.
What happened? Allah put a web on the cave, and not only a web, but a pigeon put an egg by the, had a, laid the egg by the nest, and was sitting there. They said, there's no way any human being could have been around this area. The same dua, this one, is what Ibrahim alayhi salam said when Allah rescued him from the fire. And the same dua that a lot of other messengers said when they had any kind of problem. Anab, go ahead.
That story in Bukhari.
Which one?
The story of the web, you know, of the pigeon.
No, it's not. It's in Sirat ibn Hisham. Why? Did you read something about it?
Well, is it
sahih? I believe it's sahih. I know some people talked about it, but I think it's sahih. It's not. You can't say it's da'if for. If you want, I'll tell you about the chain later on, the chain of authenticity of it. But I do know some people talked about it. Another one that you should keep in mind, and the most important one, is istighfar. Istighfar is the result of a lot of solutions. Why? You know, the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was a scholar also. So people came to him, and they said to him, you know, we're from a town with no rain. He said, say istighfarullah. He's in a setting like this with students around. Then another group came in, and they said, we're poor. We come from a town that's poor. He said, say astaghfirullah. That's your solution. Go back. And then other people came in and said, we can't conceive kids. He said, say astaghfirullah and go back. And what happened? The student said, what is this? Everyone who comes to you say astaghfirullah, you got nothing better to say? And then he recited to him a verse in the end of Surah Noah where Allah said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. I tell him, repent to Allah, He's the all-forgiven. What happens after you forgive? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. The sky will begin to shower on you. وَيُمْزِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. And He will give you money. وَبَنِينَ. And kids. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. Gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Because the reason is, because Allah does not give you that which you want because of a sin you committed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomever is persistent with istighfar, Allah will find him a way out from every worry. من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل هم فرجا ومن كل ضيق مخرجا. Everywhere you have, you say astaghfirullah, and that will be a resort to every worry you have and every problem you have. There's one last hadith I think that I should take. There's so many more. من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل هم فرجا ومن كل ضيق مخرجا. من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل هم فرجا ومن كل ضيق مخرجا. Whomever stays with istighfar, Allah will find him a way out from every worry and from every tightness, every problem, a way out. There's an important hadith, and this actually worked for me a lot. Every time I have a problem, which one? من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل ضيق فرجا ومن كل هم مخرجا ومن كل هم مخرجا. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but it's when Abu Umama was in the masjid and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen him at a time when he's not supposed to be in the masjid, you know, between prayers or when there was no one there or no meeting, no activity going on. He said, what's wrong, Abu Umama? He said, a lot of debt on my back and a lot of worries. So I said, I come to the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I teach you this dua. If you say this dua, Allah will find you a way to pay back your debt and find you a way out of the depression you're having. Actually, the wording of it is depression in itself. Depression. Thoughts that you don't know how to get rid of. After saying this for a while, he said, wallahi, Allah paid my debt, which he never thought was going to be happen, and my worries were all gone. What is the dua, Yusuf? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wa. I'm going to write this one because it's important.
know if you don't get this hadith from Sheikh Yusuf, we'll be willing to record some tapes. What are you doing, Sheikh Yusuf? Thank you very much. أعوذ بك من العجز اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن وأعوذ بك من العجز والبخل وأعوذ What do you mean by the name
of Allah?
Allahumma inna a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wa a'udhu bika min al-'ajz wal-bukhl. Make another narration. Al-'ajz wal-bukhl. Wa a'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayn wa qahr al-rijal. This is what I have. والعجز والبخل وأعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. This is the, maybe you're talking about another narration. Parts of it? No, you should use the whole thing like it is. Especially in this kind of dua, because this is a specified dua from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, let's go on. There's many more. Maybe if we get to the section of dua in this book, we'll talk about it more. There's dua for everything. Like I said, there's even dua for relationship between a husband and a wife. When one has a relationship between a husband and a wife, there's a dua for that. You know why? Because Allah says in the Quran, and be a partner to them in their food and what? I didn't say Yusuf. In what? Food and in their kids. And the shaitan is your partner in your food and in your kids. How is he a partner within your food? How is he a partner in your food? Huh? You don't eat and you say Bismillah, he's going to eat with you. How about your kids? You don't say this dua prior to the relationship, and part of your kid is a devil. That's why we have a lot of devils today. The continuation of the hadith that we have with us is a very unique one. It doesn't concern this topic, but I'll go over it very fast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, and also if you have something that worries you or a problem that's going on, this will keep your faith and self-esteem high. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa'lam anna al-umma, if the whole universe, you got a problem, people tell you the whole universe want to oust you, you know, they want to kill you, they want to murder you, they want to stop your khutbah, they want to stop the durus, they want to do whatever they want, if the whole ummah unite to do that, and Allah doesn't have it in His book to do that, it's not going to happen. And this is what Allah says, hey, take it easy, don't worry about it. Then He's saying, and the opposite is true, if the all ummah says, we're going to make you the president, the leader, the biggest khatib, the biggest, and it's not in Allah's book, it's not going to happen. If the whole universe, the human, the jinn, the wealth, the treasures, if all that unite to give you something, Allah did not put it in your book, it's not going to happen. Allah did not prior to. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yanfa'u hadarun ma'a qadar." If something Allah is going to happen to you, and you try to be precautious, your precaution is not going to help you out any. Meaning, it's going to happen. Allah wrote it to happen, and it's going to happen. That's why if something happens, don't blame it on people. It's Allah who wanted it to happen. If you have a situation where people do something, if Allah didn't want it to happen, these people couldn't. These people are only tools in Allah's hands to direct you. Up here, guys, I think. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. We need a bigger classroom, Abdullah. Where's Abdullah? Uthman. We need a bigger classroom. Unless you don't want to see Iskandar here no more. You don't want to come no more, Iskandar?
More twice a day.
Jazakallah khair. Okay, the next hadith. Give us the next hadith. Read it. Muhammad.
May Mary the son of the Messiah, the law, a man came to the Prophet and said, O Allah's Messenger, direct me to a deed which if I do, I shall be loved by Allah and my people.
As-salamu alayhi wa
sallam. If you practice abstinence in the world, Allah will love you. And if you abstain from people's possessions, they will love you.
This is part of how to be pious. Remember always, we're talking about the hadith that concern being pious in this life. We're talking about the hadith that concern one being pious in this life. How a person came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, how can Allah love me and people love me at the same time? He told them, Allah loves you if you're not too much into this life. If this is not your goal, all you care about is treasure and wealth, then Allah is going to love you. You abstain from this life. This life is a means for you to go by. And the opposite is true for human beings. You see, human beings, if you always want, you go to someone's house, hey, I like that. How much did you get that? Where did you get it from? Then at the end you say, can I have it? People in their fitrah hate something like that. And the Prophet ﷺ is trying to teach us manners. Use this life as a means to live by, and also when you see other things people have, don't ask for it, don't show any indication that you're interested in it, because that's how people love you. So, there's a matter, could someone seek people's love? Is it okay to seek people's love? Here the Prophet is teaching you how to seek people's love. Is it permissible to seek people's love? Or is that showing off? You can seek people's love within the limits of Islam. Yes, you can. Why is the Prophet telling you not to ask people? So they can love you. Because Islamic society is based on the love of people of each other. The Prophet ﷺ said, feed the poor. Why? So they can, people can love each other. Afshu salam, one of the things that makes people love each other. So anything that you know people will love you, it's okay as long as it's within the restraints of Islam. Don't go do a sin or sit with people who are committing a sin and say, well, I want them to love me. No, that doesn't work. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man askhata Allah bi ridha an-nas, sakhata Allah alayhi wa askhata alayhi an-nas." This is a stunning hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you make Allah angry, meaning disobey by His command, some people sit and drink in alcohol, and you go and sit with them, and you make, just to make those people happy, but you made Allah mad, Allah will hate you." And make those people hate you later on. In the opposite, the second part of the hadith. وَمَنْ أَرْضَ اللَّهِ بِسَخَطِ النَّاسِ. You please Allah with the displeasure of the people, Allah will be pleased with you, and later on, make the people be pleased with you. You know the rule? Is it simple or should I elaborate? Easy? The ones that don't speak English, Arabic. Because in Arabic it's very unique and to the point. If you don't know, did you get it? Good. Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, go ahead.
People who love you are just supposed to be, right?
Well, it could be all over, but we don't care about the love of the people astray. The hadith has many meanings. Is it the love of the universe itself? Exceptions. You know, you always have exceptions. Or is it the love of the good people? Some scholars say this, some scholars say that, but to us we don't care. We don't care about what the good and guided people. Because that's when a hadith comes, the Prophet ﷺ says, when Allah loves someone, He calls Jibreel. Come over here, Jibreel. I love so-and-so by name. And I love him, so love him, Jibreel. So love, Jibreel loves him. Then Jibreel is a manager of the angels. Come on, all angels. Allah loves so-and-so, and I love so-and-so, you love so-and-so. And they begin to love a certain name, a certain people. And then Allah, the end of the hadith, then the third stage, Allah will write him acceptance on this earth. Meaning, people will love him. Some people are going to hate him. Some people hated our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who cares about Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab? We care about the pious and righteous people. And that's what we seek by following Allah's command. Even if some people are going to get mad, Allah's going to write you acceptance on this earth. Look at Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ibn Taymiyyah. They were at one point hated by some of their enemies. But they reached a point where Ahmad ibn Hanbal, his funeral, is the biggest funeral this planet ever had. Both of those men. In their time, they were prison inmates. When they died, they had, Ahmad ibn Hanbal had over 1 million people in his funeral. I think the only one who could compete with it is King Hussein in Jordan. That one was a pretty big one. But in the history of our world, the only one who really had the big janazah was Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ibn Taymiyyah. The leader of the time ordered all the stores, everything shut, everyone got to go in their funeral. They were just in prison. Ibn Taymiyyah died in prison. What happened? Allah wrote him acceptance on this earth. That's why Ahmad ibn Hanbal, when they used to debate him and argue him and you know, shun him and try to deter him from their masajid and everything, he said, wait, it's only when we die. Our appointment date is the funeral day. You know what he means? Watch what's going to happen in the funeral. When his funeral, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, everyone went in his janazah except three people. You know who those three people are? Yusuf. No, but what in particular? All his enemies went. The ones who used to whip him. The ones who used to whip him. Because he used to get whipped to the point where his skin would fall off. And they would tell him, the guys that whip him, what are you doing, Ahmad? Wallahi, if we whip an elephant one time, he falls dead. How are you handling this? And Allah put him miracles through his struggle. These were the only three. Although they repented, they were afraid that the lovers of Ahmad ibn Hanbal are going to take their revenge out, because he died, now take their revenge out on him. This is how Allah writes the acceptance of the true believer. But at times, some righteous people die, but the majority of the people around them are evil. Like King Hussein, his body should have been dumped, not even buried, you know? Should be dumped for the animals to eat it. Because an apostate like that who sells our land and our religion, but see the people of that time changed. A scholar would die, a few thousand probably go, a few hundred. An evil person like that goes, the universe itself of our time headed there. When he doesn't deserve nothing like that. Okay, let's go to the next hadith. Go ahead, Muhammad. Aid. The next hadith.
I heard Allah the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, only love the pious rich man who is inconspicuous.
Inna Allah yuhibbu at-taqiyya al-ghaniyya an-naqiyya al-khafiyya. I'm sorry. What does it mean when Allah loves someone? What does it mean when Allah loves someone? Allah said He loves a certain category of people, and those are a taqi and a ghani and a naqi. This hadith comes in many narrations. We'll take the one that says Allah loves the taqi, naqi, ghani. We're going to find each one of them what they mean. When Allah loves someone, it means that He will be good to him, generous to him, guide him, and have mercy on him. That's what Allah means when you see a hadith or a verse where Allah says love. It means, who want to repeat that? Skanda, you're not right. What did I say?
When Allah loves somebody,
what does it mean?
It means that He guides him, He puts mercy on him, and another one.
See that? MashaAllah. Pretty good, MashaAllah. Go ahead.
He missed,
but it's okay. It's okay. He was trying to write it down. Have mercy on him. Okay. Now, be good with him, generous to him, guide him and have mercy on him. And if Allah hates someone, and Allah does hate, it's going to be the opposite. At-taqi. At-taqi is one who does that which Allah orders him and refrains from that sins and fears of falling into any sin. Does the ordain, refrains from the sins, and still is fearful of falling into any sin. Ghani, that's the taqi. That Allah loves three people, three kind of people in this hadith. There's a lot of other people Allah loves, but we're talking about this hadith. This is the taqi. The next one is ghani. What does ghani mean in Arabic, literally? Rich. What does it mean here, rich? His soul and his heart are rich. Meaning, you know, some people, if they're multi-billionaires, that's not enough for them. They still want more and they feel they're deprived and they want more. You see someone who Allah gave him maybe a few hundred dollars a month income or less, and he's satisfied with that. This is what Allah means over here by rich. This is piety. Allah gave you a little bit, you're satisfied with that. Some people, Allah gives him millions or billions, still. And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fitrah of most human beings. If you give him a whole valley of gold, he wants the second. If you give him the second, he wants the third. That's why in Islam, you gotta kill that. You kill that because why? You wanna be pious in this life to reach a high level in the life after. Whatever Allah gives you, you'll be happy with it. Also, this is one meaning of it. A second meaning is that some scholars said, it's the literal being rich. Literally being rich. Because when you're rich, you're generous to people. اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى. You're always helping people. That kind of rich. Some people who are very rich in their wealth. I know some people, wallahi, multi-millionaires. I met. Wallahi, their wealth is not for them. They barely have anything. Take anything of their millions to help them or their kids. It's all going for donation, for jihad, for the sake of Allah, to help the poor people. And this is what it means if you go by the second saying, ghani, meaning rich. Al-Khafi, you know, some people in this life become popular as du'a. Some people become popular in this life as great worshippers. But there's other people who do more, but no one hears of them. You know? In every town, you probably say, name me the du'a. You probably can name 10, 20, whatever, a few. Is this all the du'a, all the worshippers, all the righteous people of that time, all the generous people? That's not. There's some people who always work behind the scene, and they work for the sake of Allah. Allah loves those kind of people. Because no one hears about them. No one hears about them. Their work is solely for the sake of Allah, and no one hears about them. Their advantage over other people is they get the direct and special love of Allah. Okay, Muhammad. Muhammad. Read. If there's questions, stop me. If there's not anything not clear, if I'm going too fast, please stop me. But these were hadith we were supposed to end last week, and we didn't do them, so I'm trying to go a little bit faster, so we can move on.
Narrated Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, part of a man's good observance of Islam is that he leaves the things which do not concern him.
You know, this hadith basically, someone butts into your business, tell him, don't tell him, get out of my face. Tell him, min husni Islam al mar tarku ma la ya'ni. Someone gets into a nosy person, basically, you don't have to tell him this weird American slogan. Tell him the Prophet ﷺ said, "Min husni Islam al-mar tarku ma la ya'ni." From the sign of a right Muslim is to leave that which doesn't concern him. Some people are too nosy. Don't hurt their feeling. Just tell them the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, this hadith is one of the very few, if not rare, if not the only authentic things that we have that were in the books of Musa. You know the pages of Musa, Suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa, the pages. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this hadith is one of the verses that they had in their books, or similar to it is what they had in their books. That from the sign of a good believer or a good Muslim is to leave that which doesn't concern him. This hadith is trying to tell you, don't preoccupy yourself in this life. Be a zahid. Don't worry about other people. Just worry about yourself. What is ya'ni? The word over here is ya'ni. Leave that which doesn't concern you. Concern you in Arabic is ya'ni. You know, the scholars go to the point, Ibn Rajab said, that not only does it concern him, you should leave not only that which doesn't concern you, but if it's not very, very meaningful to you, you should leave it. Meaning something, يعني, the Prophet ﷺ could have used another word. But يعني means you have direct relationship with that thing, that if you don't talk about it or if you don't mention it, it's going to cause you some harm. This is Ibn Rajab. Al-Ghazali rahimahullah said, يعني means if you don't speak about it, it's going to cause you sin or harm you materialistically. You should write that down. The Ghazali's interpretation, what is it? If it doesn't concern, if you don't speak about it, it will cause you harm. If you see something and you don't speak about it, it's going to cause you harm, or it's going to cause you a sin if you don't speak about it. That's what he considered يعني. That's an Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah in Ihya Ulum al-Din. Al-Ahwadi rahimahullah gave the example. He said ما لا يعني meaning excessive talking, to the point like if someone goes on a journey and he comes back, there's no purpose in telling what he's seen in the journey, shouldn't even go to the point of mentioning that. Meaning silence is better for you. And we're going to see more hadith on this, another hadith on this after this one. Go ahead. Riyadh.
Allah's Messenger said, a human being has not fulfilled any vessel with his words than himself.
This hadith is basically saying, ما ملأ ابن آدم وعاءً شرًا من بطنه. You know what this hadith is saying? We can't have no obese people in our people, you know. We shouldn't have fat people who are out of shape. Really? This is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, there's no vessel you feel worse than a person's stomach. I'm going to give you more hadith. This hadith may stun you. How did the Prophet say something like this? Is he trying to mock someone? You think the Prophet's trying to mock someone? The Prophet wants the ummah in good shape and in good health and who are pious people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith narrated in Al-Bazzar, he said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَبَعًا أَكْثَرُهُمْ جُوعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The more people fulfill their stomach in this life, the more hungry they will be in the life after. There was a Sahabi named Abu Juhayfa. He burped one time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam poked him in his stomach and he said, I never filled my stomach completely with food in 30 years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never filled it for 30 years. There is a continuation of this hadith. If you insist on filling your stomach, then it be like how? One third for your food, one third for your water, and one third to breathe. You know, some people today, they eat, and then they can't get up. They can't get up. I'm tired. Go ahead. Yes. Yes, you should have fulfilled. You should leave some room in your stomach. You know, it doesn't have to be one third. How are you going to measure it? But sleep, meaning, leave some room. Don't eat all the way. And the reason behind this, I think you know it. I mean, it's not a hidden agenda or secret. This country always talks about how obese people have a problem. How they're always tired. They're lazy all the time. Al-Ghazali, wallahi, Al-Ghazali means 20 negative matters about overeating. Overeating, 20. And amongst them are things you know. We don't need to go by that, because you could look up scientific studies that are similar to them. Lazy, sleeping a lot, no productivity. This is all why? Overly eating. This is a different. We're saying something you can help. You can help, meaning you can. If someone is sick, there's a lot of people are sick. Or if there's an exception in this ummah, I mean, it's not going to be that they're going to fry in hell or something. But Allah's trying to tell us how to be pious in this life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen Aisha eat twice in one day. You know what he said? He said, "This is israf. This is waste." You eat two times in one day, that's waste. We have to eat breakfast and dinner and then at night and probably in between and then snacks. It's good to eat but don't cause yourself harm or hardship.
So how did they, about fasting, you eat in the morning before sunrise and when you have iftar?
It's probably, if you look at it in Fath al-Bari, it's probably there was two main meals. You know, even today in some Arabian countries that have their old tradition, they'll have a morning meal and a night meal that is big. You look, they're rich Bedouins, but they have a little bit, like a yogurt and bread, little bit of meal. And the middle meal is very big one. Maybe the Prophet ﷺ meant that it was more than one main meal of the day. Luqman alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, he said, if you fill your stomach, your ideal sleep, and your wisdom becomes silent, and your physical body become lazy. Namat al-fikra. If you want to write it in Arabic, Luqman told his son, إِذَا امْتَلَأَتِ الْمِعْدَ نَامَتِ الْفِكْرَ وَخَرَسَتِ الْحِكْمَةِ وَقَعَدَتِ الْأَعْضَاءِ. Who wants to repeat it in English? The idea sleeps. If you fill your stomach, the idea sleeps. The wisdom is silenced. And your physical body becomes lazy. Luqman alayhi salam told his son, إذا نامت إذا امتلأت المعدة نامت الفكرة وخرست الحكمة وقعدت الأعضاء. Becomes lazy. Then Nun, the messenger of Allah, then Nun, Yunus, he said, I never fulfilled my stomach ever except that I have thought of sins. Usually when you're hungry, You know, people dying in Ethiopia from hunger, they're not thinking of committing sins because they got something to worry about. The noon says, I never fill my stomach ever except that I think of a sin. I don't want to go to the physical aspects or the scientific aspects of overly eating and how bad that is. You guys go look on the internet, it's more than enough. But I tell you, wallahi, some of the things said today, some of the things our scholars said in the 4th century after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the harms that it causes. Okay, the next hadith. Any questions? Controversial hadith and no questions?
So that I never fill my stomach because of the sins?
Every time I fill my stomach, it causes me to think about committing sins. The noon, Yunus. Yunus alayhi salam. Riyadh, the next hadith.
Anas radiallahu anhu, when you have messenger from Allah said, all the sons of Adam are sinners, but the best of sinners are those who repent often.
And also, by the way, not only in this area he says don't eat too much, excessively eat too much and become lazy, but he also says to work out. And if you were at the khutbah last Friday, I told you many, many hadith of how Islam encourages people to work out, both male and female. Both male and female. We need a ummah that's physically... Give me an example, Imran. That's all he talks. Okay, how about for sisters? How about for sisters? In sharpshooting, I mean, it wasn't only just because it's for jihad. It's more of a hobby. It's more of a hobby than it is used for jihad. What's the proof for the woman running?
Aisha is running
twice. And?
She won the first time.
Why she won the first time?
Because she was young.
And then?
And she got older.
She got more weight on her. And the Prophet ﷺ raised her. And he said, this is in revenge for that one. So both men and women, in appropriate settings and situations, are encouraged to work out and take care of their body and physical being. This is something Islam taught us. Look how advanced Islam is. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu bani Adam khata' ilayhi al-khata'in at-tawwabun." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you every one of the son of Adam is a sinner. What's the English translation that they have? Everyone?
All the sons of Adam
are sinners. That's exact translation, and the best of the sinners are the ones who repent to Allah. At-tawwabun in Arabic means continuously repent. Not once. Meaning continuously repent. Why you continuously repent if you haven't made a sin? Meaning every one of the sons of Adam is going to make mistakes, and the best of them, which is all of us. All of us are sinners. The best of us sinners is the one who repents. Meaning it's imminent. You're going to make mistakes. 100% you're going to make mistakes. 100% you're going to make sins. The best of the ones who make those sins are the ones who are repentant to Allah. There's a hadith by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Walladhi nafsi biyadih." By the one my soul is in hand. If you don't make sins, Allah will take you and replace you with those who make sins, so they can repent and ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah wants us to make sins, but He wants us to ask Him for forgiveness. And the problem is not with the sin. A casual sin, a rare sin here or there, that's not the problem. Because we're all sinners. The problem is being persistent on it. And the problem is not repenting from it. And declaring offense repentance from it. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You know why Allah said, "Oh you, my servants, who transgress their boundaries, despair not the mercy of Allah." Why He said despair not the mercy of Allah? Because we're all sinners and we go back to Allah. You know, if you keep coming back to me, or you go to your professor, "Please, you know, this time I need a B. Then the next time, I need a B this time. I did that." You're going to get shy. Allah says, "No, this with him is okay. Despair not the mercy of Allah." His mercy of Allah has no limit to him, meaning turn to Allah. You know, there was a hadith about an old man. Old man came and walked into the Prophet ﷺ to the point his eyelids are falling on his eyes. You know, you're probably in his 90s or 100. He walks in on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh Prophet, there isn't a single sin I haven't committed. Huge sins I committed. What am I going to do?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You say, 'Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad rasulullah.'" He said, "Yes," meaning
you say that and you repent to Allah? He said yes. He said, go, Allah forgave you. He walked out, then he came back. He said, what about the minor sins? You know, I asked about the major sins. He said, what about the minor sins? And he said, Allah forgives all those sins. You gotta show some kind of step forward. And this is what this hadith means. Continuously, a sign of someone pious in this life is his continuous repenter. One of the signs of the people of hell, Allah describes them in the Quran. وَكَانُوا يُسِرُّونَ عَلَى الْحِنْفِ الْعَظِيمِ. What does يُسِرُّونَ in Arabic? What is يُسِرُّونَ? Insist. Meaning if you're not insisting on your sin, Allah is not going to put you in hellfire. كَانُوا يُسِرُّونَ. They're persistent on their sins. That's their problem. That's the problem of the people who are sinners who will be in the judgment day. The Prophet ﷺ, how many times he used to repent? Or? 100. Two narrations. The Prophet, whose sins are all forgiven. All his sins are forgiven. Pious and coming, no sins. Yet he used to ask Allah, astaghfirullah, 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 100 times. What are we going to say about us? You know? We've got to do millions of times with the sins that we've committed. So, but at least have a trend. You should have a trend. Like I was mentioning in the last khutbah, you have to have a daily agenda. In your daily agenda, you have to have istighfar. You have to have istighfar every day. Before you sleep, put yourself to sleep saying astaghfirullah. What do you lose? Instead of trying thinking about things that happened in this life and things that annoy you and hardships that happen to you, say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah till you put yourself to sleep. Go ahead. I'm going to get to that. Actually, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about. Because this hadith is about repentance. One of the ways to repent of small sins that we all get into is by following them with good deeds. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, I'm doomed. I'm doomed." What did he do? He kissed a girl wrongfully. Kissed, didn't commit adultery. He saw he's doomed. That's it. Allah's gonna destroy him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't see nothing in the verses that could apply to him. He can't stone him. He didn't commit adultery. He kissed. What is he gonna do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Come back. Allah reveals a verse in the Quran about you." Who knows that verse? The beginning of it. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ. Pray to Allah in the beginning of the day and the end of the day. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And at night time pray. Why is he doing all these good deeds? These are extra prayers. Then end of the verse tells you, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds are an erasure to bad deeds. Meaning, do a good deed. Pray excessive prayer. Allah is going to erase that bad deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's up, Ahmed? Muhammad, you got anything? You want to confess about anything? Where, you know, you could publicly confess. Huh? Hood, yeah. The Prophet Allah said in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "Ma nazala bala'un illa bidham wa ma rufi'a illa bitawbah." Any problem you have came to you by a sin, and the only way that problem is going to go away is by a repentance. Whether you take it on us personally or you take it generally upon the ummah. Why the Muslims in Palestine are going through what they're going? Because of sins they committed. Yet Allah forgave. Jazakallah khair. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, Allah called the mushrikeen. What was it? ما نزل بلاء إلا بذنب وما رفع إلا بتوبة. There's no hardship that happens to you except by a sin you committed, and it's not taken away from you except by repenting to Allah. So, you know, I mentioned this before. When Asma radiallahu anha used to have a headache, she grabbed her face and say, oh my head, my headache. It's because of a sin I committed, yet Allah forgave for so much. Abu Huraira used to say, our camels and animals in our backyard become weak and hazel because of our sin. One of the Sahabi said, I used to see the effect of my sin in my donkey. When I kick him and nudge him to go, he doesn't go. I know that I have committed. When I have a problem with my wife, I know it's something that I committed wrong that I need to repent to Allah. Allah in the Quran called the mushrikeen to repent. أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Turn the mushrikeen, the paliyas, the worst people who associate a partner. Isn't it not time that you repent to Allah and come back to Him? He called the hypocrites to turn to Him. فَإِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. Meaning of the hypocrites. If they repent and they show they're on the true path, Allah will forgive them. Allah called the sinners of this ummah to repent when He said that verse I just mentioned, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That's for the major sinners of this ummah. Allah called the minor sinners of this ummah, the ones who commit minor sins, when He said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And flee and repent to Allah, all you believers, so you may succeed. You know, the people of the trench, the ones that dug the trench and they killed the Muslims because of a young boy who was 13 years old, and that boy, they told him, take him. It's a long story, I don't want to get into it. Do you all know it? Ukhdud. Wassamai dhatul buruj. You know it. Okay, then I'll say it. You know it? You know it? Then why you say you don't? Tell us what it is then. The point is, this boy who was a person of the Tawheed of the time of Isa alayhi salam. This was a few hundred years before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. The whole ummah of his time, which are considered about 20,000, again. But in your heart, you say, "Allah, I'm not going to do it again. I promise you, in my heart, I'm not going to do it again." And the fifth one, who knows the fifth one? The fifth one is. That's. Yes, the first one is the one you apply sometimes. All these four, anytime you repent. See, small sins, what's the difference between small sins and big sins? Small sins, you don't have to repent from each one alone. You know, if every time you took a wrongful glance, you got to repent, you got a big problem. You got to sit and repent all day long. But the Prophet ﷺ said, from prayer to prayer, Allah forgives the sins. What does He mean by these sins? These are minor sins. And also, from Hajj to Hajj, Allah forgives sin. Umrah to Umrah, Allah forgives sin. All Jum'ah to Jum'ah, from one Jum'ah to another Jum'ah, Allah forgives all the sins in the middle. But these are only the minor sins. The big sins you've got to repent from by adultery, killing, disobedience to your parents, anything that is a major sin in Islam, and we know a major sin, if in attached to that hadith or that verse, the punishment in hell, that means it's a major sin. Talking about Allah without knowledge, you gotta specifically repent from that sin, like these rules over here. This is for the major sins only. The fifth one is if it concerns someone. Someone backbites me, or if we backbite Muhammad or Imran, or any brother, you gotta go back to that brother and apologize to him. I stole from Yusuf's ice cream truck. I have to give it back to him or compensate him for that ice cream or ask him to forgive me. Now, there's only one problem with this. Sometimes, if you go to someone mean and you tell them I talked about you or I stole from you, it's going to be a bigger problem. When it's going to be a bigger problem in Islam, you eliminate that. How you eliminate it? By asking Allah to forgive him, make dua for him. You took money from him and you can't give it back to him directly, put it in his mailbox. Send it to him by mail. Send it somewhere as though it's a charity to him. And some way that he won't know that you, what you did in the past. That's only if something worse is going to come to it. That's when it applies to. If he died and he has money that you took away wrongfully, you give that money in charity, not for you. You don't get no ajr for it. He's the one who gets the ajr for it. But you have to do that.
But if he takes money from someone, can he keep it going back without his knowing?
Yes, you can. And you should do that. If is going to cause a bigger problem. See, you got a problem here where you took the money. You want to repent. But sometimes if you go to some mean people, you tell them, talk to them, oh, I'm going to tell the whole world and you did this. I'm going to expose you. I'm going to... No. If he's someone that evil, ask Allah. Make dua for him. It, not only make dua. You know, the scholars go to the point, you talk to him in your hangout. Some brothers hang out. 10 brothers. Go to that, try to go to that same setting and mention him in good. You know, instead of going to him directly. Because you know, if it's a human right, there's two rights to it. One to Allah, Allah forgives. Allah forgives. But if that person has a right, and this is the person, the Prophet ﷺ says, he's a bankrupted person. Bankrupted means, you know, who becomes bankrupted? Someone who has a lot of wealth. All of a sudden, something happens to him, and this wealth is gone. This is what happens, you know, the people file bankruptcy, they're either huge corporations, they have a lot of wealth, and one time something happens, they have a problem, a legal problem, they file for bankruptcy. The Prophet ﷺ said in this Ummah on the judgment day are going to be bankrupt people. Who are they? These people here. You come on the judgment day. You, a lot of deeds. He's a guy or whatever. But he come, he talked about this guy, and he did this to harm to this person, and all this mountain of deeds, the people begin to take it. Take it equivalent to that harm he caused them. To the point, he's bankrupt. He got no more deeds. Then, they take from his sins and it goes on to him. In retaliation for what he did. So these are the repentance. You got it? Okay. Any questions?
For the fifth one, what was the right for Allah to have?
If it's a had, remember 2 weeks ago, you don't have to submit yourself to a khalifa if it belongs only to Allah. The fifth one is, like, give me an example. Is it like, what? Adultery? Adultery, you don't have to submit yourself to a khalifa to stone you or to whip you if you truly repent between you and Allah. That's the major opinion by most all the scholars, except very few who say it's better to submit yourself, which I think is very wrong. The hadith go in a solid pattern of repent between you and Allah. Allah doesn't want to embarrass you, and Allah doesn't want to expose you, and He doesn't want you being stoned. Remember we mentioned the two times that the Prophet stoned, Ma'az and Al-Ghamidiyah. In both of them, the Prophet ﷺ tried to get them to go and not come back. Yes. Who wants to tell him the fifth one? You give the right, if it's a human right, back to him. Huh? No. The fourth one is plan in azm. In Arabic, bil azm alla ya'ud. Put in your heart that you will not go and do it again. Huh? That's different. That's totally different. That's sunnah of the tawbah. These are the minimum you must do to repent. There's also, if you pray to Allah, get up and hear the adhan, and make wudu, and pray to Allah to rak'ah, solid and firm, for the sake of Allah only, Allah will forgive all your sins. And there's also, the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever commits a sin, and gets up to pray to Allah to rak'ah, and lets nothing in his mind interfere, meaning not think about this worldly life in any way, Allah will forgive his sins. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا ذُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who, if they commit a sin, they remember Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا. The key word, they're not persistent. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا on that which they did, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they know, when they know that they have done is wrong. What does Allah say at the end? أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. For them is a reward that Allah will forgive all their sins. وَجَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. For them is forgiveness from Allah in a garden of heaven bigger than the sky and the earth for that which they have done. You know, there's a story. I mentioned some old stories in the past, but there's a newer one. It's about someone named Ahmed, and it's an authentic story. It's about 10 years old or so. This Ahmed is from Riyadh in Saudi, and he went to Saudi because they're not as open sin, there's not as public sin as you have in Bangkok. You know, Bangkok is one of the top prostitution areas. So he went there, and he wanted to go there just for pleasure, you know, to look around. He found evil friends there from his town, and they took him. And he committed the sin of adultery. He had a wife in Riyadh. But he went there. He ran out. He committed the adultery and it hit him. What did I do? You know, after it was done, he said, what did I do? I can't. He's running out. When he was running out, his friend on the door said, what's wrong? He said, do you know what I just did? I committed adultery. He said, don't worry. We'll give you alcohol. We'll take everything off your mind. And he said, I made one sin. You want to show me another sin? He said, he ran. He began running. Reserved his way back to the yard. You know, in the airports, I don't know, especially overseas, when you go, there's an area for salah, carpet in some areas for salah, especially areas where Muslims go a lot. So he was there, he went to pray, and he found someone sleeping. That one sleeping's name is Ahmed as well. And he woke him up. He told him, how can you sleep? I haven't slept in 3 days. He said, leave me alone, I want to sleep. The other one, who's a businessman, I want to sleep. He says, no, I haven't slept in 3 days. Why hasn't he slept in 3 days? It's the sting. This verse applies to him. When in the surah, he made a sin. They took him to the point where he made the sin. And now, he realized what he did was wrong. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. He was never persistent. So he started telling his friend why he hasn't slept in 3 days. They exchanged numbers. This one went on his way. And the Ahmed that was a businessman stayed there. And he was in Riyadh. This man's life changed totally. Changed totally to the point where he fasts day after day. Recites Quran to the point he memorized the whole Quran. And life went on. Then he contacted his friend Ahmed, called him up, the other businessman Ahmed, to see how they were doing. And they met up. And they mentioned the story of Rabi'ah ibn al-Khutaym. They started having a weekly halaqa to inspire each other's iman. And one of the stories they were reading is Rabi'ah ibn al-Khutaym. Rabi'ah ibn al-Khutaym was a young, handsome man of his time in Medina, a tabi'i, very handsome. All the girls loved him. And he had a relationship with everyone. All of a sudden he repented. So people began to mock him. Say, Rabi'ah, that's not a right repentance. That's just, it's just a lie. They went to a prostitute. They told her, there's a certain amount if you get a kiss out of a Rabi'ah. You just make him kiss you. So she went, waited until he got to the outskirts of Medina. And she went to him alone when he was worshipping. And she took her clothes off. Rabi'ah, she was one of the best looking prostitutes of her time. Rabi'ah told her, fear Allah. Can't you imagine the day when your flesh will become dirt under the grave? Your grave and bones will become dirt. And he went on to the point, it terrorized her. She took her clothes and ran away. Before that, she had told the people, she said, you give me money to get a kiss? I said, you're intimidating me. I don't need that. You take that, and you get more and more than just a kiss. So Rabi'ah ibn al-Khutaym caused this woman to be one of the best worshippers of her time. She repented to Allah and was naughty. In our history, we have a collection of books on the lives of pious women throughout history in the first 700 years. She's mentioned as one of the greatest worshippers of her time. So when this Ahmed listened to it, it only added to his agony. This is Rabi'ah ibn al-Khutaym runs away from sin and I run to sins. It adds to agony. And that man, the other Ahmed businessman who was also religious, didn't know how to calm him down. How am I going to calm him down? He didn't know. So the days went on when Ahmed the businessman recited a verse in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Those who do not commit a sin, the associate a partner from Allah, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ, they don't kill wrongfully, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ عَثَامًا. Whoever does that is severely, severely going to be punished. So he went to that man, he traveled back to Riyadh, and he started reciting this verse to him. The man was about to snap. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ, you don't associate upon it to Allah. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ, and you don't kill except rightfully. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and they don't commit adultery. And if you do that, you're going to severely get sins. The man was about to go crazy. He said, wait, listen to the verse after. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ, except one who repents. You see all those we mentioned? Severely going to be punished. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ, except one who repents. So he got very happy. This became one of his favorite verses. He memorized the whole Quran. One time he stayed late. This was a year after he came back. Look how sometimes the sin could be good to a person that it changes life to enter heaven. This man was a normal person. Probably prayed once in a while. Wasn't close. This sin changes life totally. He memorized the Quran. One time, it was time to break his fast. His father told Ahmed's young brother, go call him from the masjid. Well, this is a real story. It's chain. As the Shaykh who narrated, it's golden. It's only three people in the chain. And it's, you know, it's recent. So they went to call him, and his baby brother said, he's not responding. Go see him. So the father ran. This man become unusual. Before he was happy, laughing always. For one whole year, they didn't see a smile on his face. Because of that sin. The sting of the sin never left him. Just like the Hamidiyya. 2.5 years, and the sting of the sin was still there. So the father ran to the masjid. He found him about to pass out and die. This was only a young man in his 30s. Never expect that he would die at that age. So he took him in his lap and he told him to call, you know, for help. And he's looking at him. You know what he's saying? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And then he's saying, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they never commit adultery. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Whomever does that is going to be severely punished. He said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. And he recited the next verse. And he smiled. His father said, وَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. In the whole year he never smiled as good as it was. And that was the last thing he died on. And as you know, a sign of a good death is a sign of something good to come. And a sign of an evil death is a sign of something evil to come. He's going to come on the judgment day saying, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا. If those who repent and those, do those roles we talked about, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, Allah will transform their sins into deeds, and Allah will forgive those who want to be forgiven. So imagine how one sin changed this life, man's life, to be a pious. And this is exactly what the hadith we're talking about and all the verses we're talking about. Any questions? Go ahead.
Further in the section about, since Salatul Toba is a sunnah, but the other five are mandatory.
These are the basic of basic to get a repentance from Allah. But you could do other things, you know, like the Salat al Tawbah, to pray 2 rak'ahs. It's better. It's better. But these are the minimum. You know, one of the things about our sins is that this whole universe in its entirety is supposed to be under our control. Completely under our control. Everything in this universe, the sun, the sky, the earth. You know the story I mentioned about the man who killed 99 and repented? The whole universe fell under his control. How? Half of the earth, the globe, became shorter because in its mountains, in its valleys, in its building, in its houses, and everything became shorter for one human being. And this is how we as Muslims, the sun, the earth, the pious people who were in the cave, Surah Al-Kahf, Allah changed the norm of the sun from one direction to another because it didn't want them to bother them when they were sleeping. Why? Because they were pious people. And when we become pious, this is what's going to happen. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, used to tell them, you know what? You go, there's a prey in our farms. A prey comes and goes next to the sheep and they eat together. How does this happen? He said, we feared Allah, so Allah took away all the evil from this earth. One of the signs when Isa ibn Umar comes is that there will be no evil. Everyone will return to Allah. When Isa alayhi salam comes to this earth, everyone will be pure to the point a child, what happens when a child puts his foot on a snake? Bites him and kills him. Puts poison in. A child steps on a snake, nothing happens. A prey and the one he's after sit next to each other and eat. There's no evil on this earth. And that's when we change ourselves. Like Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And you know the hadith Qudsi of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. If you ask me and beg me, I forgive you and I care nothing. What does Allah care about? He care about someone when I talk about him, or care about something about his kingdom? Allah does not care about nothing. Beg him and ask him, Allah is going to give it to you. Ya ibn Adam, if your sins become reaching the peak point of the sky, and you ask me for forgiveness, I'll forgive you, and I care less. Oh you, son of Adam, if you ask me for forgiveness, and your sins are like the little tiny stones of the deserts, or the sand in the desert, if that's how much they are, and you ask me for forgiveness, I forgive you, and I care less. And this is what I wanted to say about Tawbah. Questions before we go on? Sisters? No questions from the sisters? Any questions? Okay, go ahead. Next, should we take the next hadith or that's it? I see some tired people. Go ahead. Alaykum salam to Allah. Awwab? What does it mean? What does it mean? Awwab is a continuous repenter. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. Awwab is like tawab, a continuous repenter. But it's only for someone who is a continuous repenter. You know, in Musa alayhi salam's time, there was a drought. There was a drought where they needed to ask Allah for forgiveness. And they gathered, 70,000 people gathered, what we know today as Salat al-Istisqa. Salat al-Istisqa is a prayer. If your country does not have rain, you do Salat al-Istisqa. The vast majority of the people go in the town and pray to Allah. The Khatib gives a speech and prays two rak'ahs, similar to Khutbat al-Jum'ah. And you flip your clothing inside out. In fact, the dua of the Salat al-Istisqa is with your hands upside down. That's the special dua of Salat al-Istisqa. And you change your inner clothing to the outer clothing. And Musa alayhi salam, they had a similar dua like this. No rain, they're going to die. You know, wallahi, in Saudi, I attended about 5 times. Every time they do it, as soon as they're done, it starts raining. Wallahi. Wallahi al-azim. Because this is from Allah. You ask Allah, Allah is going to give it to you. Every time they do it. When I was there, I don't know now, the things are more probably, but they always had this discussion.
When you do it?
It should be done in group. This is a group prayer, like Jummah. Yeah, it should be done right after the sunrise, after Fajr.
No, like 10 months
of the year. No. Anytime there's a drought, anytime there's a need for water, for rain, you make this dua. So what's the guy that is...
When do they change their clothes, before or during?
Well, it's not your clothes. You don't go and change your clothes in front of everyone. It's like, you know, they had a turban or something like that. You change it. You know how they used to wear it in the old days as well as now. The thing over your clothing, I think they call it the bishr or the habay, you change that. You're wearing a hat. You flip it inside out. A symbolic gesture to flip it inside out. Allahu alam. I don't know why. So they gathered 70,000 people and began to make dua. And Allah said to Musa, dua is not going to be accepted. One person is a sinner there. 70,000, and because of one sinner, his dua is accepted. What are we going to say today? You know, this is why the situation of the ummah is in the situation it's in. If one person, Allah stopped the rain. So he said to Musa, you got to get him out. Get him out, the rain will come down. Musa said, how am I going to get him out? 70,000. He said, you shout and we will convey the message. The man heard it. He heard there's a sinner got to go out. He looked left and right. No one got out. He knew it was him. He said, oh Allah, don't embarrass me. Oh, I committed a sin. He repented on the spot. So as soon as he repented, rain began to shower. Musa told Allah, how do you give us when you told us to take one person out? He never left. He said, it was because of him I gave you the rain. It was because of him. He said, oh Allah, let me see that person. I just want to meet him. How he repented so fast and how Allah forgave him and Allah showered us with rain because of him. Allah told Musa, he did all his sin alone, and he repented alone. You think, I never exposed him when he did his sin? You think I'm going to expose him after he repented? And this is a lesson for us. Lesson to follow in that kind of a step. I think we should stop here. There was a massive amount of information today. Inshallah, we'll start next week. If we're around, if the halakha continues. Jazakumullah khair, sisters, for coming. Before the brothers and all those who came from distances to attend the halakha. May Allah reward you all. Barakallah feekum. Inshallah, every step of your way here, be among your deeds on the judgment day. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.